for a Verdict, brought to you by Sputnik Africa.
Hey everybody, welcome back to AfroVerdict's new episode where we explore the frontiers of technology and its transformative impact in our world. Today, we embark on a journey to Africa, a continent brimming with innovative minds and groundbreaking inventions. In Zimbabwe, a group of young students is revolutionizing the way we think about technology and its capacity to improve our very lives. Their ingenious creations, ranging from automated harvesters to unmanned landmine removers, are not just innovations but also catalysts for economic growth and social progress. So today we'll delve into the minds of these remarkable young inventors, understanding their motivations, inspirations, and the challenges they've overcome to bring their ideas to life. We'll discover how their inventions are addressing pressing issues in their communities, empowering individuals, and fostering a culture of innovation that is shaping the very future of Zimbabwe itself. Then, shifting gears, we'll connect with a South African man who has defied the odds and restored his functionality through the power of technology. Our guest will share his inspiring story of receiving a prosthetic hand from a Russian robotics company, Motorika, a device that has not only restored his physical abilities, but also given him a renewed sense of confidence and purpose. Hear how this groundbreaking technology has transformed his life, enabling him to resume his daily activities, pursue his passions, and connect with the world around him. We'll explore the emotional and psychological impact of this innovation, understanding how it has redefined his identity and opened doors to a world of possibilities. So sit back and enjoy AfroVerdict's episode as we embark on this fascinating exploration of African innovation, where technology is not simply a mere tool, but a force for positive change. We'll discover how these inventions are empowering individuals, improving communities, and shaping the future of a continent that is on the rise. Let's get right to it. So first up on today's AfroVerdict episode is Charles Matanga, computer science teacher, robotics team mentor, and the national coordinator for robotics in Zimbabwe. And he's going to tell us about the innovation that took place in a Zimbabwean school. Mr. Matanga, welcome to the AfroVerdict podcast, and thanks so much for joining me today. Let's start off with a brief introduction.
Okay, thank you. My name is Charles Matanga. I'm a computer science teacher and also robotics mentor. I have been working with teams from Zimbabwe. So I happen to be the national coordinator for robotics in Zimbabwe. I am also the coach for FIRST Global Zimbabwe.
Well, Mr. Matanga, it's my pleasure to be joining you today. So the robotics team of your school has developed three types of prototypes that can potentially improve crop harvesting, home gardening, and even perform landmine removal. Could you take our listeners through the main principles behind your team's invention and how can it be applied?
Okay, thank you. So the prototypes that have been designed by students, the whole idea is, you know, robots are meant to make life easier. They may not replace human beings totally, but at times they can be used in areas which are dangerous or hazardous to human beings. In our case, the landmine removal, it was the motivation came from one of the students who comes from an area where landmines were planted during wars in Zimbabwe. So the whole idea was to avoid human beings suffering from those landmines some years later after the war has ended. So it is easier to use a robot. If robots are destroyed, they can always be replaced. But the good thing is they have some sensors attached, so they will be more accurate in detecting the presence of a landmine. That's one. Then Zimbabwe is an agro-based economy, so we need to mechanize the way we do our farming in Zimbabwe. As such, we have students who are motivated to come up with an automatic combined harvester. We noticed that we can have driverless planters, driverless tractors, driverless combine harvesters, which can be controlled remotely, and they can work 24/7. As such, we have a model, just of course, it's a prototype which can be developed to real application machines that can be solar powered. At the same time, we are reducing emission of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere, whilst we also automating our work in fields. On the one that I mentioned, that for landmine removal, again, it's multi-purpose. It can be used in fields again or plantations. For example, picking up apples, oranges, or any fruit that can be picked that is delicate. We can use robots that can do that without damaging the product. Then the third one for our home gardening, a simple application that was a form one student at 4 years old who argued that at school we should not have people moving up and down, pushing a lawnmower. Why not design a robot attached blades driven by a motor, which can be programmed to move, for example, 30 meters by 20 meters, and the blades are remotely controlled, that you can easily cut grass wherever you are. So that one was meant also for automatic, you know, cleaning floors and also picking litter. So those were the models or prototypes that were designed by the young ones. Looking forward that this can be patented, and we have it being implemented at a higher level where we have the actual machines being manufactured. And these have to be homemade in Zimbabwe. As the whole idea, we don't want to import innovation, but we want machines that are designed right away from Zimbabwe.
Wow, that's really remarkable here, I must say. Were there any perhaps difficulties as the robotics team designed these prototypes? And take us through the process of designing them.
Okay, so the first thing that you need to do when you are designing prototypes, we need to have a team. We need to have the goal. So that to give the students an opportunity to research, you just give them a task to say, what do you think we can do in Zimbabwe in terms of agricultural machines? So it's an open-ended research where students have to find on their own what is actually being done at the moment, but where are we lacking or where can we improve? So it involves doing a research first. So we are going to have a collaboration skills being developed there. Then they have to sit down, look on the local material or resources that we have. Then they can assemble the design. Obviously, you need to work on your computer, the design first card. You design your prototype. You check if it is going to work out. Then we try to implement it. But implementation part of the prototype, it does not come at ease. You have to build, then you destroy, you build, then you destroy. But every stage you'll be refining and making some changes. You should be prepared to adjust, because at times the initial idea, you may notice that you are not really able to implement it as it is. But we document everything. We need to document to say, we started from stage one, but the final product is this.
Okay, well, that's quite an interesting process. What was the initial source of inspiration for the young inventors to start working on this project initially? And how long did it take for them to finish it?
So in 2023, July, we had a team from Trinidad that traveled to Washington, D.C. Then it was a tech tour, where we visited Maryland State University, where they have a robotics center. Then we visited Amazon. We visited Tesla. So as we were going there with the students, they felt they were challenged to say, we now have a self-driving car which can order parts on its own. So to them, they felt that why not go back home and come up with tangible projects that can help, that are relevant in our community. Also, another source of inspiration, we went to NASA space station. So they were really challenged about meeting astronauts, getting a clear and precise explanation of how space is explored and how it is feasible to do that. So when we came back, that was July, some we have actually started working on those prototypes. So since 2023, August, up to now, they've been working on those prototypes. Even during the festive season, they could not tire. They were really inspired by what they saw in the USA.
And what does the future look like? What would you say is the next step in developing these robots?
Okay, what we are looking forward is most of the robotics kits elements that we are using, we are importing them. And for example, some of the batteries that we use are lithium batteries. Zimbabwe is naturally endowed with the lithium. It is in abundance. So we have challenged the Ministry of ICT to assist also through other ministries. Let's have those batteries being manufactured in Zimbabwe. Because when during shipment, you cannot use a plane unless you are checking in with those batteries. So it's another area where we are looking forward that if we start to have robotics kits being manufactured in Zimbabwe, definitely we are driven by the passion to see every Zimbabwean child being taught robotics and the coding. And it is my wish to see even raw areas robotics being introduced. Power should not be a challenge. We can have solar farms being set up, or just a solar system for a particular school being set up, then they can have some source of energy where they can charge their gadgets. So we really would like to see robotics being taught as an academic subject, not the way we are doing it right now. We are doing it as a club. And during the club time, the time may not be enough. So students have to stay behind or use their own time during weekend. But we look forward to see the Minister of Primary and Secondary Education having curriculum developed, then make it an examinable subject. In that case, we can actually get a word of many people and expose many people to robotics. In that way, we can bridge the digital divide.
I heard that the project of your students was highly appreciated by Zimbabwe's Minister of ICT, Postal and Courier Services. How else can the support from the government help you implement the invention for the good of the country?
Okay, mostly the support that we look for is policy implementation. In Zimbabwe, around the late 90s, we saw a computerization of schools, and it was through the government that we witnessed schools getting access to computers, and that's where we benefited learning computers from those projects. So this time, it's no longer about having a computer within the school, but what is it that we are using it? So policy level, we really would appreciate if we are going to see being from curriculum development unit, having robotics being implemented as a subject, definitely it means hardware and all resources required will be channeled towards the implementation of robotics. Then we look forward to, we have teacher training programs. those who are being trained to teach computer science can have a module added that is specifically for robotics, so that when they go out there, they'll be able to implement it. So the support is mostly on implementation and the policy level. Then obvious importation of these kits, they may come pricey. So duty, if it's possible, it can be scrapped because they are being used for educational purposes. At the same time, we would like to see those schools with the resources being encouraged to take up. Then we look forward again. In Zimbabwe, we have what we call athletics that we do at school level, district, province, then national level. So if we are to have that robotics competitions being done at school level, district, then province level, definitely we can start to witness a lot of innovation projects coming up from all corners of the country.
Well, let's hope you get all the support necessary to promote and further develop this product, because I think it'll be an excellent solution to numerous problems and issues. Finally, what message would you like to give to young people around the world to encourage them to use their creativity, and especially to those young people who are passionate about robotics?
Yes, so the message is very clear. It's high time we should embrace STEM or STEAM. We need to make use of our time, make use of resources that are readily available to our benefit on an individual level, to the benefit of the community and the nation at large. Some have abandoned access to internet, but how do you use the internet? That is the question. Some will be on social media. Social media actually have some pages or areas where you can meet other people of your age, discuss projects that can be done. And this can save you from maybe drug abuse and all other social ills. So my challenge to the young minds in Zimbabwe is let's embrace STEAM. You don't need to come from a science background for you to pursue robotics. You have a role to play, maybe in terms of research. We need orators. We need people who can document. We need people who can present before people. We need collaboration, communication skills among the robotics team. So everyone is welcome when it comes to robotics. And if used properly, this technology could be our slave. But if we use it wrongly, we become slaves of technology. So I would like to encourage the youth in Zimbabwe to embrace and come up with the solutions that are relevant to the communities where they are coming from. So you don't come up with a solution which is meant. Of course, you would like to assist others coming from different regions, but start with the solutions by looking at areas which are surrounding you, pressing issues. Those are the ones that we should attack first. So I really would like to encourage those who would like to learn robotics to get in touch. We can work together for the betterment of the country. Thank you.
Well, follow Sputnik Africa closely to keep an eye on the developments with these young inventors and the way their product may revolutionize agriculture in Zimbabwe. Next up is Clive Badayachi, the man with a new prosthetic hand. Mr. Clive Badayachi, welcome to the AfroVertic podcast, and thanks for joining me to talk about the amazing prosthetic hand that you have. Let's start with a brief introduction, I guess.
Hi, good day. My name is Clive Badayachi. I'm actually from South Africa. I'm 48 years old, will be 49 this year, and I've lost my right hand with regards to a complication in my veins that I actually had. And I've been using the prosthesis from Motorica for about 2 years now, and basically it's been helping me. I've actually received 25% of my mobility back. And it helps a lot. It helps a lot for having the prosthesis. And it's actually wonderful using it.
Well, it's a great pleasure to make your acquaintance, Mr. Parayachi. Could you perhaps share a little bit more about the story of your life with our listeners?
Well, I was actually born in South Africa, born and bred in the city of Johannesburg, which is now Gauteng. And basically lived a normal life, went to primary school, high school, and I'm actually basically working for a company, a bank within South Africa. But just basically living a normal life. I'm married. My wife's name is Michelle. I have two kids. My daughter is Kanisha. She's 21 years old. My son is Solano. He's 20. So they're basically 1 year apart from each other. And basically, like I said, that's just a simple life, family life. Looking after my family, and just getting the joy and the good life from them. Always have been and will be a positive person. And losing my arm was not basically a bad experience for me. But it actually changed my life in a very, very, positive way. And being positive all the time is basically what actually drove me to get into the prosthesis so that I could actually get a better chance in life.
You know, it's truly amazing that in our day and age, while such obstacles in life, say 200-300 years ago, would be a major hindrance, nowadays they can simply be replaced. I'm not saying it's available for everyone, but nonetheless, the fact of the matter that it's there. You know, it's a possibility, and that's really, really amazing. Tell me, what difficulties did you face after losing your arm before obtaining the high-tech bionic prosthetic hand by Motorica?
Well, basically, after losing my arm, I went into a slight depression mode because obviously I could not do a lot for myself. There was a time that I couldn't even dress myself. I had to get the help of my family. But even with before I had the prosthesis, basically I learned to maneuver myself with one hand, work with one hand. I was actually inspired to start writing with my left hand. Normally we know that when you're born, your brain takes over your sense of writing. Basically, you are either left-hander or right-hander. But I basically learned or taught myself to actually write with my left hand, which actually is exactly the same like my right hand. So my left hand basically took over from my right hand. So I didn't see a bit of a difference. But after using the prosthesis or the bionic hand, I felt that I could do a lot. I mean, there was a time where I could not have a whole two glasses in my hand. And now at the time, I can use both my left hand and my right hand to pick up a glass of water, drink a glass of water, have a cup of coffee, where there was a time that I couldn't even use my hand, obviously, because I didn't have a hand. What I can basically actually do is I've driven my car with my hand. I've been fishing with a prosthetic hand. There was one occasion that I fished. It was a bit difficult at first, but I practiced. And that's basically what actually was difficult for me, was the fact that I had to go to my left-hand side now because of my hand, not having my hand on my right hand. That's the difficulty that I faced.
And how did you learn about Motorica?
My wife was actually doing a lot of research with regards to prosthetics, and she fell upon Motorica. She basically messaged or emailed the company, and I was actually lucky to be accepted by Motorica, and the hand was actually made for me. So thanks to my wife that actually searched around. It took us, I think, about 3 years, three and a half years to actually get a response from UBS.
So did you then have to go to Russia to get a prosthetic hand? Is that how it worked?
Okay, it was basically guys that did prosthesis here that had a company in South Africa. I think they were, Motorica was handling some of the stuff here in South Africa through the company that was here. And I was told that the company would phone me and I should go to the premises where we were, did the casting, did the measurements, and even the mold for my hand to insert, my arm to insert into. And that was sent through to Russia to basically manufacture. And that's where I received it from.
Okay, I see. No, that's cool. So how did this Russian-made mechanical prosthesis make the quality of your life better? What new tasks were you then able to accomplish thanks to the mechanical hand?
Like I said, I could pick up a glass, drop down the glass, even take a cup, take water from the tap of my right hand, which I couldn't do before. It made it easier for me to basically dress myself. Obviously, I could not use the component within painting myself because it is butter metal. So obviously, I kept away from water with regards to the hand. It made me feel complete. It made me feel basically that if I try and practice, maybe even to pick up a bucket of water for myself to get into the house, maybe pick up a bucket of water or even pick up parcels of groceries, it helped me be independent from not having a right hand. I could basically, whatever I put my mind to, I could try and do. Have a cup of coffee in the morning, have a glass of juice, pick up my pants with the hand, use the bathroom. So it made me feel more confident in myself. It made me feel positive that there is something out there that can better my life and I should not be depressed on losing my hand. So it was, like I said, basically a very positive aspect in my life. And to go forward and have something where you can basically, with your mind, think, hey, let me close my hand. It will close the hand like a robotic arm. At the moment, it's not actually a robotic arm. It's basically operated by the cables, with opening your hand and closing, moving your elbow towards you, and moving your elbow to out, basically reacts to the hand, and the hand opens and closes. So, going forward, who knows what can happen?
Clive, I just spoke to a computer science teacher, and he mentors a group of students in Zimbabwe who came up with couple of cool inventions, right? With the swift pace of development of modern technology, what advancements do you believe we'll see in the future? And how would you guess the technology will improve going forward?
Basically, we're looking at probably AI. We're looking at probably the hand that I have now been substituted or changed to where we basically use our minds and say, I need to close my hand, and my hand will close. I need to open up, I need to use one finger, or I need to put my thumbs up, and it will operate as my thumb would come up on the hand. Because, I mean, we're all looking at digital, we're looking at bionics. AI is the future. So, I mean, to go into that aspect of controlling your hand, I think will be a wonderful and a very creative way of getting people that loses their hand or lose a limb or loses the fingers. It would improve their life much
and
better.
To what extent would you say are the solutions that Mentorik offers available to the South African community? Are they aware of them at all?
In South Africa, I'm not sure, but I don't think that they have Mentorik in mind, mainly because the prosthesis that has been done here in South Africa is, how can I say, old age. Basically, it's not as modern as Mentorik is presenting. And I think it should be something that should be advertised within South Africa, or special like hospitals or funding should be done within South Africa to actually promote this, because there is a lot of people. And I mean, with me going also to hospital with regards to checkups and all that other thing, I see the amount of people that's basically in need of this. But I think with regards to getting these prostheses, it's a bit difficult because of the costing of it, and obviously the medical aid within South Africa not funding these prostheses. So I think in my opinion, it's not well spread in South Africa.
Well, Clive, it was a pleasure to speak to you. Thanks for sharing your story with us. It's really great and admirable, and I'm great that you've been blessed with a full-on new hand. Good luck. Well, our journey through the world of African innovation comes to an end, leaving us with a truly profound sense of hope and inspiration. Today, we've witnessed the remarkable ingenuity of young minds in Zimbabwe, their inventions addressing crucial challenges and driving economic and social progress. And we've been deeply moved by the story of this South African man whose prosthetic hand has not only restored his physical abilities, but also given him a renewed sense of self and purpose. That is really the true ability of technology. This episode has highlighted the transformative power of it, and thus reminding us that it can be a force for good, empowering individuals, improving communities, and shaping a brighter future for all. As we reflect on the stories we've heard today, let us be inspired by the spirit of innovation that flourishes on the African continent, truly a continent where dreams take flight and technology becomes the catalyst for a better world. Thank you for joining me today on this exploration of African innovation. I hope that you've been as inspired as I have by the stories that our dear guests shared today. Keep an eye on the African continent by checking out the Sputnik Africa Telegram channel, TikTok account, and other socials. As for the other AfroVerdict podcasts, feel free to find them on popular podcasting platforms like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Deezer, Pocket Casts, AfriPods, Castbox, and of course, Podcast Addict. That's that for today, everyone. This is your host, Victor Anakin, signing off. Have a great weekend.
AfroVerdict, brought to you by Sputnik Africa.